The next day, the huge crowd that arrived for the feast heard that Jesus was entering Jerusalem. They broke off palm branches and went out to meet him, and they cheered, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in God's name. Yes, the King of Israel." Jesus got a donkey and rode it, just as the scripture has said. "No fear, daughter Zion. See how your king comes riding a donkey's colt." The disciples didn't notice the fulfillment of many scriptures at the time, but after Jesus was glorified, they remembered that what was written about him matched what had been done. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb, raised him from the dead, was there giving eyewitness accounts. It was because they had spread the word of this latest God sign that the crowd swelled to a welcoming parade. The Pharisees took one look and threw up their hands. "It's out of control. The world's in a stampede after him." And then in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, Paul writes these words. "All praise to the God and Father of our Master, Jesus the Messiah, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times, so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. We have plenty of hard times that come from following the Messiah, but no more so than the good times of his healing comfort. We get a full measure of that too. When we suffer for Jesus, it works out for your healing and salvation. If we are treated well, given a helping hand and encouraging word, that also works to your benefit, spurring you on. Face forward, unflinching. Your hard times are also our hard times. When we see that you're just as willing to endure the hard times as to enjoy the good times, we know you're going to make it, no doubt about it. We don't want you in the dark, friends, about how hard it is when all this came down on us in Asia province. It was so bad we didn't think we were going to make it. We felt like we'd been sent to death row, that it was all over for us. As it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Instead of trusting in our own strength or wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Not a bad idea, since he's the God who was raised from the dead, who raises from the dead. And he did it, rescued us from certain doom, and he'll do it again, rescuing us as many times as we need rescuing. You and your prayers are part of the rescue operation. I don't want you in the dark about that either. I can see your faces even now, lifted in praise for God's deliverance of us, a rescue in which your prayers played such a crucial part." The same God who inspired these words incline our hearts and our minds to their understanding. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are wrapping up our wilderness sermon series this morning, which has largely, as most of you know, been focused on the film 127 Hours. And the connections between Aaron Ralston's wilderness experience there in that crevasse that he was trapped in Canyonlands, Utah, and Jesus' wilderness experience that frames our Lenten journey and also helps us, I think, understand our wilderness experiences a little bit as well. Which, of course, we've discussed in the past are not only places, right? Wilderness for us is not just the Adirondacks. It's not just the Sierra Nevadas. Our wildernesses are more often than not those states of mind that are bewildering for us. Wilderness for us is a metaphor to describe a terrifying situation where wild beasts of all kinds, shapes, and sizes and species lurk. It's that place in our life that is characterized by chaos and loss of structure and control. It is a place where a few paths are seen, and only a few, if any, are known. And confusion and disorder and temptation and bewilderment exist on all kinds of levels. And we feel totally and utterly lost. So we've come to the end of the series, and it would seem that it was all going to end very badly for Aaron Ralston. So utterly overwhelmed and lost was he, especially in the last clip that we saw. But alas, the cover of the DVD case proclaims, "There is no force more powerful than the will to live." And from the clip I'm going to show you this morning, it is pretty obvious what Aaron had to do in order for him to find his freedom and live life. Watch. "Help! I need help!" At first the words caught in his throat. He had to hike out 7 miles after he cut off his arm. And his throat was parched. It had been hours since he had spoken. Even after all of that nasty water that he drank from the water pothole at the bottom of the 65-foot big drop rappel that he had to make. And at last the words came, "I need help." Ron Parks observes that if Aaron Ralston had known Hebrew, he might as well have shouted like the folks in that very first Palm Sunday crowd, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" which means, "Save us now." And fortunately for him, Eric and Monica Mayer and their son Andrew happened to be walking down a neighboring canyon when Aaron staggered into view. And had he not seen those three people there at that particular point in time, which at first he talks about in the book, he thought was a total mirage. If he had not seen them, it is more than likely that he would have died there. It is really an amazing story. And for people of faith, we see the providence of God all over the story, even if maybe Aaron didn't. Yes, it took great courage for Aaron to cut off his own arm. Yes, it took great courage to stagger out of that canyon and to rappel down a 65-foot sheer cliff with one arm. And it certainly took amazing courage to do all of that. But for people of faith, we know that Aaron Ralston did not save himself. By God's providential care, his actions put him in a place where someone else who had more power in that moment than he had could help him. His path placed him at a crossroads where there was power to help that he didn't have himself. And isn't that our story too? Paul says to the Corinthian church, and I believe across the centuries to us, "All praise to the God and Father of our Master Jesus Christ, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel." Paul reminds us in this passage that Jesus, our Messiah, comes alongside of us when we are going through hard times. His path and ours cross in those precise moments of wilderness and stress. Those moments of hardness and harshness, of pain and loss. God in Christ rescues us from certain doom, Paul says in the passage before us today. And he continues. He says he'll do it again and again, rescuing us as many times as we need rescuing. It's not a one and done thing with Jesus. He is always there to seek and save and rescue the lost and the hurting. But notice what else happens in this passage as well. And I love Eugene Peterson's translation of verse 4. He comes alongside us, Jesus, when we go through hard times. And before you know it, He brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. I love that. Our paths, sooner or later, bring us next to someone else who is crying out for help. So it's not only our joy to be healed. It's also, I believe, God's intent that we would be a healing presence in the life of others. Folks, Palm Sunday begins that part of our faith history where the story of God's rescue operation is made visible to the world in a dramatic way. We know that the story began on Christmas with the birth of this little baby who we have in the sanctuary all year long, to remind us that that's how the story began. But we know that that little baby grew to be a man who on Good Friday was hung on the cross and who on this Friday we will remember the fact that his wounds are wounds that heal us. We are all in need of a healer. We are all in need of a helper. We need someone who can bind up our wounds, wounds of the past, wounds of things that we have done, things that we have left undone, and things that undo us even now. And so this morning, I want to be very intentional about offering for us all a time for healing and wholeness. There's a little verse in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 13. That says this: are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. And note well, good people of God, it is not the oil in this service that heals. The text says it is the prayer of the elders. Your pew Bibles, the New Revised Standard Translation, says it is the prayer of the faithful that does the healing. So do you need to be helped or healed this morning? Are you low on hope because of the wilderness you are in? Is there barely an audible voice inside you that has been trying to come out and to say, I need help? Is there someone you know who needs to be healed, who is in a wilderness of one kind or another? Or do you desire to recommit yourself to being a helper and a healer and a voice of hope? Are any among you sick? The text says. The elders have been called, and they are here. Mary Kuhn will be roughly at the back of the sanctuary for anybody that would like to go to her, and I will be in the front. And we would like you to come to us and share what your need is, where you need to be healed, or how you need to be touched, how you need to be re-empowered to be a helper in God's name. And we will anoint your forehead, unless you hold out to us a palm instead, and then we'll put the oil in your palm and offer a prayer for you. Come as you're led and be healed. Let us pray. Powerful God, we pray that you would bless this witness given in your name, and that the prayers that have been offered today either in a formal way or an informal way, would be heard by you and answered in a profoundly real way. Thank you, God, for the faith that we share and for the healing that is in this house, all from your power and grace. May you receive all glory and honor this day and all of our days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.